Well, let's go ahead and get started. I'm Evangelist Mike Maynor. I come from a big metropolis called Gray Court, South Carolina. It's one of those places you can't get there from here. I drove up yesterday and took a 12-hour drive that took me 14 hours. It was so much fun. That's called sarcasm. By the time I got here, I was rode hard and put up wet. But God spared me from death many a times. I almost got clipped right before I pulled into the motel last night, and I have no doubt it was my fault. But nonetheless, it's always fun to be on the road getting ready to do more and more ministry. Well, the reason I am here is because of that man right there. I'm starting meetings with Brother Jim on Sunday to Wednesday up in Stevensville, or we say Benton Harbor. They probably know that better, wouldn't they? Stevensville. So I'm going to be up there Sunday. So when John found out I was coming this way, I've been a part of this ministry since Brother John got here. And when we were over in the old chapel, and we were thankful to have 25 people, show up and all that good stuff. But it's been so fun to watch this ministry grow, but also watch Brother John grow. You know, from a young guy, didn't have a clue what he was doing. He still doesn't, by the way. He's still guessing, but he's getting better and more mature in his guessing. I'm being sarcastic.
Did you get that on the recording?
But no, Brother John is just a blessing and amazing, but what a good friend. So when Brother Jim told him, he said, Maynor, now here's why he really wanted me to come. Not to teach a couple of sessions, I'm the lighter side of ministry. For those that know me, I got saved out of entertainment. I worked at Disney and cruise ships, bars and clubs, get down, get up again sort of thing. And I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old. But I put all that aside because that's what I worship. That's what directed my whole life. But once I got into ministry, God just slowly but obviously brought that back out to use in the right way to make an impact. You know, icebreaker and that sort of thing, kind of the silly, goofy stuff we're going to do even this afternoon. So, God knows what He's given you. He just wants you to be a faithful steward of that gift. And most people don't do that. Why? Because it usually involves work. It involves sacrifice. It's getting out of our comfort zone and not really being that hands-off, yielded servant to do whatever God would have done. But can I say this before we get into a message? If God orders it up, won't He in turn give you what it takes to be faithful? So when we say no instead of yes, or we're not the gap filler, the volunteer for Jesus we're supposed to do, what are we doing? We're saying, God, You can't handle this. You're saying, I can't handle it, but You're not willing to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, finish it, folks, but to trust and obey. Let's go in that word of prayer. I am 72 years old now. I don't even remember my name, so I want to make sure that I pray before we go any further into this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for this wonderful workers' conference. This is just so, so wonderful, so needed. Lord, we don't need to just stay with what we have, even though it may be good. We need to even get better. We need to be more equipped, more efficient and ready to serve You, as Brother just preached, in excellence. And Lord, that's really what we're going to deal with even here in this session. So Lord, help us now. Give us ears to hear. Help us to be humble enough to receive Your truths. And Lord, again, help us to do that which pleases and honors You. God, I've already asked for this, but I'll let them know. I want Your power. I want to say what You know needs to be said, so these folks can leave this conference and do even more and do better for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, we praise You. We thank You for this, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Follow the bouncing bald head. I'm going to close this door right here. I stayed at a Comfort Inn about 10 minutes from here, and of course got in pretty late. But when I came out to pack up the car to head this direction, I'm wound up like nobody's business. And I go out to the car, it's raining a little bit, and there's this pretty good-sized black guy parked right beside me Well, you know, God puts him there. That's an opportunity to witness. So I started talking to the guy, and he says, what's your name? What do you do? I said, well, I'm an evangelist. I told him where I was coming, what I was going to do. He says, would you pray for me? He says, I had this accident. I thought he was going to pull his britches down. Okay, I'm telling you, I was kind of going, whoa, okay. He lifted up his shirt. He was going this direction. I went, too much information. And I kind of stopped him in the midst of all that. And he says, would you pray for me? I'm out of work and I can't do this, can't do that. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever received Christ as your personal Savior? Now, I didn't have time to kind of like do the, let's have a cup of tea together. Let's get to know each other's, birthdays. I didn't have time. It was just kind of like boom, boom, boom. Oh, he says, yeah, I've received Jesus as my personal Savior. You know, I had to guess on that because it didn't smell like a Christian should smell. It didn't look the way a Christian's supposed to look. But you know what? You can still know Jesus and not be to that maturity or that kind of begin revelation of understanding. But he was pretty clear and very quick to respond, I have received Christ as Savior. So we talked, and he tried to give me some money. You know how hard it is for an evangelist not to take money? Do you understand that, people? That's what I do for a living. No, he tried to pull out some money. I said, take your wife up to the outlet center at Michigan City. Go spoil her. Treat her for the queen that she is. She was kind of scary, if you want to know the truth. But, that was just, it was there, people. And as Brother John just preached so wonderfully, it's always there in abundance. But you're not going to see what you're not looking for. And that's really the problem with most of us in all ministry opportunities and endeavors. But when we approach these, we need to do it with the right kind of understanding of who God is and what God expects. Now, there's just a brief statement of excellence as far as your notes are concerned. But here's what I have, giving God what He deserves. I think I'd add that with the title of what's going on. If you're going to reteach this, and why not, okay? Folks need to hear this. You know, one of the times I preached this in a church in Wakarusa, not too far from here, the guy who has a home entertainment business, he said, Mike, would you come and do this for my people? You know, he's a Christian guy. He has Christian people working for him. But folks are interested in doing things in a right way, above and beyond the average, just get it done. And he has that kind of mindset with his business, but his business was to bring glory and honor to God. So I want you to look down at your notes, if you would, please. Let me give you these quotes. I don't think I ever quoted Aristotle in my life till I put this passage together. But can I say this? Truth is truth, no matter where or who it comes from. A lot of folks are freaking out with AI today, and you need to be careful. I've got to do a whole, I'm at the Wilds this spring with the Fundamental Baptist of the South. And, I got to teach a lesson on the dangers of AI for pastoral ministries. Folks, I don't have a clue what AI is about, but I got about 4 months to find out. So I'm going to do a little more research. And I've already understood from my own perspective how easy it is, just like in the old days. Brother, you're a little more mature. Brother Jim's almost dead here. You all remember where guys used to get their sermons from? The sword of the Lord. Yeah. Don't study. Don't take too much effort. Just get a good one and just wind up and spit her out. You know what? Whether it's AI or it's a commentary or sword of the Lord or what you heard today or will hear today, folks, you still need to make sure they're saying what needs to be said in a biblical, God-honoring way. My second session that I'm doing, if you only would ask, is about, again, can your ministry be improved, but how are you going to improve it unless you know you need it approved or improved? And a lot of times you don't ask, how am I doing with God? As well as with wise counsel. That's not just a commercial for the next session, but that's needed today because in our pride, we think we're all right, we're okay. So truth can come, folks, from you know, any unsaved or saved people, it's still truth. And that's with this statement of Aristotle here. I had to give a little clearance action here on this guy. Excellence is never an accident. It's always the result of high intention, sincere effort, and intelligent execution. Well, we could park there and preach all morning, couldn't we? Then it goes on to say, it represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. Now, here it goes on. With regard to excellence, it's not enough to know. We must try to have and to use it. I'll get head nods through this whole thing, but is this where you're going to go? Is this how you will approach whatever ministry opportunity that God puts before you? Then Coach Pat Riley, he's down with Miami now these days, ownership and more management. But this is a great simple statement. Excellence is the gradual result of always striving to do better. And that's an everyday endeavor. Here's number three. Colin Powell, don't like his politics, but I like this statement. If you're going to achieve excellence in big things, you need to develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is a prevailing attitude. Then this last one that's stated here, excellence is doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. So I have never done this. Well, I can't say never. I've probably done it maybe once or twice. The fill in the blank thing. Now, I know, guys, that helps people stay awake, you know, and maybe stay more focused. So I obeyed my authority, Brother John, and I did the blanky thing here, and I'm going to help you fill the blanks. If I go too fast, you don't catch it. There's a, like I say, a cheat sheet in the back of the thing. I did on the second session, though, I left a couple things out. I'm not a very good secretary, okay? I think I got all this in the, as far as the check out, fill the blank thing. So here's a very obvious thing. Why are we bothering with this topic? Because we serve the God of, what is it? Excellence, of course. Now you may say, well, of course, He's God. He's perfect in all His way. I can't do that. Wait a minute. Let me back the card up here. Does God order anything up for your life? Again, that He doesn't in turn to give you what it takes to be faithful. Yeah. But because we make excuses, blame shift, or again, just flat out cop out, folks, we don't avail ourselves to the power and wherewithal of a holy, powerful, get it done God. So again, God orders it up. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Well, it's in the Bible, brother. Well, you need to study that word. It's talking about being mature, you know, prepared, equipped. Having an obvious effort to again know this and do what's right. You're not going, until you put off this corruptible in Christ Jesus, folks, you're still going to do some awful dumb stuff and not be at a level of perfection, even though we know some folks that think they are. Don't point. If they're in the room, please don't point. But a lot of folks think more of themselves than we ought. Can I back this up? All of us think more of ourselves than we ought. If you didn't go there and park there, you'd be looking to be better today and tomorrow, more like Jesus, be more like Him, to do more for Him. So again, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. God is after, can you guess? Faithfulness. That's what we find in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. It says, moreover, it's required as stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, if you notice, I wrote the word boom. That's kind of like mic drop. And this is the mic drop statement of the entire challenge. Look what it says. God wants us to do our best, to best represent Him, to bring glory and honor to Him. That's it. Boom. Yeah, let me say it again. God wants us to do our best, to best represent Him, to bring glory and honor to Him. I was going to be real, humorous like I think I am at the first and say, let's just close in prayer because Brother John, Dr. John just covered my whole message on excellence and the message he just preached. But we're going to try to add a little bit of the why it doesn't happen here in this session. So let's keep going. It says we won't. Here's the next part. It's still true that in attitude and action, we're to manifest and glorify Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, for you're bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, what? Which are God's. How dare we, people, do whatever or anything apart from God intervening on our behalf? But why don't we do that? Hey, I got this. I got it. No, you don't. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing, people. And boy, if we could keep that truth before us, the humility of saying, God, how am I doing? Can I do this better? Brother Jim, what do you see in my life that really keeps me from doing this better than I'm doing it? And again, that's a commercial for session number two. Okay, so look on and let's fill the blanks in here. We won't accomplish that if we don't strive for, here's the word again, excellence. It has to be an on-purpose, here's the filler, choice of life. Choice of life. This testimony of excellence is again to be reflected in all we say and all we do. End of story. But here's the boom again. God wants us to do our best to best represent Him. That's in again, that is again a choice of faithfulness, striving for a testimony of excellence. Now, we all appreciate when things are done in a quality way. It's sharp. It's again, whether it's secular or sacred, this folks, for us believers more than anybody else in the world, it should be our testimony, understandable responsibility. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, as you see in your notes here, let all things be done, what? Decently and in order. Now, I'm going to let you guess what the next blank may be. Give me an obvious secular example of getting it done in an excellent fashion. Throw it out there. Who do you think out there in the world has that, wow, they're doing this right? Chick-fil-A. Are y'all with me? Yeah, Chick-fil-A. I mean, have you ever seen such clean places as far as a restaurant's concerned? Not me, people. Don't go to Burger King. It's the opposite example, okay? Don't go there. You know one that kind of comes close? Now you'll think, what a mentally deranged person you are. Well, that's a given, okay? But I went to Buc-ee's yesterday, okay? If you haven't been to Buc-ee's, it's a destination. I call it the poor man's Disney World. It really is. And you know, you can't be poor going in there if you're going to buy anything. But I go there for two reasons. I'll probably mention this during the session when I do a fun time. But I go there because they always have clean restrooms. That ain't always the case when you travel as much as I do. It's usually, here, let me give you a good Indiana word. It's gunky most of the time. It's like, don't touch anything. Where's my Lysol when you need it, okay? But Buc-ee's, man, they got an attendant in there. They're cleaning left, right all the time. And I mean, it's like a turnstile of nonstop bodies coming and going. It was just amazing to see how many cars, how many people, and boy, how much money these people are making. But can you tell? They're sharp, aren't they? Now again, I don't know who's sharper, but it's always clean. It's as organized as the day is long. But that's the same thing with Chick-fil-A. These companies do what they do, again, for a secular goal. And again, now Chick-fil-A, I understand, comes from a Christian background. But folks, they on purpose are well-trained. They're on purpose having their folks know what they need to know to do what they need to get done. They're customer-oriented. Wow, is that forgotten art today? It's usually you're blessed to be in my presence when you walk into a store or walk into a church. Again, folks, we can't allow us to be anywhere short of what they're doing, at least. They're doing it for big bucks. We're doing it to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my ministry travels and observation, and I see some pretty crummy ministries. I know that's not real kind as far as a statement, but it covers the truth. I was in a church one time, I tell you, I was embarrassed for them. It was crummy outside. The retaining wall wasn't retaining. Y'all with me here? The windows were all fingerprinted up. You walk in, it was old carpet. Now listen, you can have a spirit of excellence and not be John Allen Taj Mahal Church. Y'all with me here? I mean, yeah, this big hoity-toity place we're in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. No, they clean stuff on purpose. They understand first impression, lasting impression. But I tell you, I go into some of these churches, just dirt. Dirt. Folks, do you understand we get used to our own dirt in your home? Well, and you have an excuse why it's not fixed or why it's dirty. Because you live with it and you think it's the right choice or the right testimony. And I'm standing, it's not. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of upbringing you had. You still represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The God of excellence. And boy, that needs to be every part of who and what you are. How are your kids going to know how to do that? Now, I'm a little OCD, okay? But you know what? My children didn't catch on to all that. I always want to go home, and when I go to their houses, I want to clean it for them. You with me? I'm just that nutcase. Do you understand? There's dust over here. You should have painted that already. Now, my daughter has 10 children, so it's like Destruction City every day. They could clean 24/7 and crud doth abound. But what's your excuse personally? Because it's an excuse. You're saying, well, I don't have that. Well, what's that got to do about having a good presentation of testimony? Use what you have, but make it be the best it can be. Make sure it reflects who you profess and proclaim to be, a Christian who, again, reflects God. A God of excellence. Then I go into pulpits all the time, as you know, as an evangelist. Been doing this over 35 years. And why do we have to leave all the crud around the pulpit? Did you notice what John does up here? He takes away anything that doesn't need to be there. Did you notice that? Isn't it sharp? Even when I brought my guitar in this morning, you know, where do you want me to put this, John? John knew. Put it back behind that wall because a guitar is sinful. No, he didn't do that. No, he just wanted to have a right representation of excellence. But I'm telling you what, easels, Sunday school lessons, 15 guitars, you know, maybe bongos over here. I don't go to those kind of churches. But you know what? Just unnecessary, ready for the word? Clutter. Clutter. And folks, our God deserves better than that. And you got to be open-eyed. You know, for years I went to Northland Camp and Conference Centers as a program guy and, you know, kind of a staff evangelist. I've been there for almost 20 years altogether in my service of ministry. But, you know, when I would go to Northland, Marty Heron, who was the camp director at the point, then it was Jeff Call. Marty said, Maynard, you're coming in, ready for this, with visitor eyes. Get that? And what we're used to as far as getting used to your own dirt, or again, a window's broken, a screen's got a hole in it, you know, this has not been da-da-da-da-da. He says, you come in with visitor's eyes, and I want you to make a list. Now, the maintenance department hated me. Are you with me? I mean, they hated me. Because I'd do a couple pages on that little yellow notepad that's about this long. And boy, I had it full of stuff. And I wasn't looking to be a critical spirit. I was trying to help them have a testimony of excellence. You understand why it's the way it is, but it doesn't need to stay that way if it's not rightly representing our God. Are you all with me on this? I don't mean to offend you, but I'm trying to help you think. Now, what keeps folks from having a testimony of excellence? Somebody help me. What time are we supposed to be out of here? 10:55. Oh, I don't have enough time. Okay, so what keeps folks from having a testimony of excellence? Write this word in the blank. Ignorance. Ignorance. Some people just don't know any better. And it really comes as a lack of training or example. Some folks just don't see it. Now, I mentioned I worked at Disney. Now, Disney's not as concerned about the aesthetics like they did when they first opened. I was there during Grant. That's how old I am. I was there when Walt Disney opened. And I worked on Main Street, USA, wrong place to put this mouthy, hey, look at me character. But you know what? At night, they'd close down. They'd repaint everything. They'd change light bulbs. They were just so constantly in maintenance mode to make sure they had a certain kind of excellent presentation. You know, I didn't just learn that at Disney. Growing up, my dad was a Ford dealer. My dad was a Ford dealer from 58 up through the 80s. And when I worked for my dad, I started selling cars when I was like 14, 15 years old. Can you imagine, as shy and backward as I am, me selling cars? But you know what? I should have been in the back end, but dad wanted me to cover the counter. Y'all with me? But you know what my dad would always say, son, hey, you need to clean that front door. Hey, the cars aren't lined up exactly the way they're supposed to be. He'd make me stand. I mean, I'd had to look down the line. If one was just 3 inches off, he wanted it 3 inches back. Because my dad wanted a certain first impression. Again, a testimony, even though we were unsaved, of, hey, this is sharp. I mean, these folks know what they're doing. Again, folks, you need to have that kind of mindset and kind of visual perspective. Let me give an example. For years, as I mentioned, I worked at Northland. But I also worked at the Wild. I can't hold a job. That's why I'm an evangelist today, okay? But I've worked in my 35 years of evangelism. I started out the Wilds. I was up at Camp Kobiak in Michigan trying to get, they were bankrupt. They were going down the tubes. And my buddy Jeff Call came in as director. And boy, they just turned it into the impacting ministry it is today. But what happened, I went up there, you know, with the same thing. But I've also worked at Northland, as I mentioned. I was amazed, and still am today, how dumber than a brick college kids can be. Nothing personal. But you know what? Some of the smartest, well-educated people, they don't see it. There's a piece of paper on the floor. Well, that's for the janitorial department. That happens in church, doesn't it? Hymnals are this way. Somebody left this, that. Well, I had this will make you want to, excuse me, the terminology, throw up. Okay, barfa. There was this guy that was coming out of church, and he was arrogant, just flat out arrogant. Known him for years. Good at what he did, but full of himself. And he mentioned, when I described the gifts of ministry, he says, well, brother, he says, I believe I have the gift of teaching. And I just looked and known him for years. I said, you think you might be able to clean a toilet every once in a while? Huh? You think you could be maybe a gap filler? Get off your high horse, bend over, pick up the paper. Again, it's just all a part of the big picture. As a church, we represent Jesus. I want to pick up papers at Walmart. Are you with me, people? That's how warped I am. A rug is crooked. I want to straighten it out. Okay? Something's not aligned. I want to fix it. Okay? Again, I go a little too much. I understand that, but I'm glad I go too much instead of not enough. Are you doing enough? Have you trained your mind, your eyes, with a bigger picture of understanding and responsibility? Now, this will make you laugh. Jeff Call, who's worse at this than me, he was the director, he'd have the kids clean rocks. Yeah, for sure. Go wash that rock out there. It's looking kind of shabby. Kids are climbing up and down. But we would do that. We would have a time at night after everything's done, especially at family camps, we'd have kids we just assign certain areas. Make sure the paper's picked up. Make sure the trash bags, the trash cans are emptied out. And again, having that back up, God, give me discernment. God, give me eyes to see. Give me discernment on what needs to be done sooner than later, and help me be, again, focused on what will help the testimony of Christ to be better. And folks, it's even those little things, like picking up a piece of paper, that helps us to represent the God of excellence. Here's the next one. It gets sadder as it goes. Laziness. Laziness. Now, this is driven by a lack of character and selfishness. Laziness is driven by a lack of character and selfishness. But folks, we need to deal with this laziness like we deal with any other sin. Any other sin. Confess it, forsake it. Don't be lazy anymore. Kick yourself in your motivational opportunity to get off your stool of do nothing and do what needs and must be done to serve and rightly represent the God of excellence. Again, let me say this because I don't think I can say it enough. We get used to our own dirt physically, but we also get used to our own dirt spiritually. Do you think things would improve if, again, we looked at ministries from a visitor's perspective? Yeah, that's it. Now, the last one here, this is, again, we're getting down to the end, apathy. Apathy. Brother John mentioned on this a little bit, too, here during his message, but some people just don't care. It's kind of like, oh, bother. That's good enough. Shouldn't we always notch it up as we serve God? Right. Yep. Should we really be satisfied with almost the way it should be? Never. That's a sinful, apathetic, lazy, again, horrible representation of who we represent. Who cares? God does. Amen. We should. Sad to say, most people don't go there and do that. Well, brother, you're an evangelist. You don't understand the toils and agony of a local church ministry. You know, you got to be careful with those tender, sensitive, wonderful people you're blessed with. I've pastored, okay? I was a church planter. We grew, listen, this is amazing. This is just to God be the glory. We grew from 50 people, most of them Southern Baptists, okay, that wanted to be independent Baptists. We grew from 50 to 175 people in a town of 10,000 people in 1 year. And I'm the only guy doing the pastor ministry thing as far as staff's concerned. But you know how that all got where it was? Because of soul winning. This is hard to mind. Every time I say it, it's kind of like, man, I wish I could see this again. I led that first year. Now, this is my hometown area south of here. You go down where Muncie is. You all know where Muncie is. North of there, about 20 minutes, is Dunkirk, Indiana. That's where I grew up. Well, I pastored in Portland, Indiana, about an hour south, directly south of Fort Wayne. And I knew. My dad was the head of the county council of Jay County. My dad ran for judge. Everybody knew Bobby Baby, the Ford dealer, okay? But they knew me, people, as an entertainer. What? Yeah, I sang. This is so funny. I was just saved 2 weeks, okay, when I did this. I sang on the Lawrence Welk traveling show. Does anybody, kids don't know who Lawrence Welk is. The rest of us were tortured when we were younger, okay? We were forced to sit in front of a television and say, a one and a two and a watch the bubbles rise. Google it, okay? But it was pretty big deal in the day. And you know what? I had the connections. I sang two spiritual songs, B.J. Thomas's Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song. I may sing that this afternoon. No, I'm never going to ask back. And the other one was a Chris Christopherson song called Help Me Make It Through the Night. But it was all, orchestra and all came in behind me. Talk about a flesh feeder. Went to California, auditioned for the TV show. I had all the connections. But praise God, he intervened on my behalf. That's a whole nother session, okay? But here's the thing, folks. They knew me in Portland as the Lawrence Welk entertainer guy. And I come back to Portland to plant a church as a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, separated, King James-thumping preacher of the Word of God. And you know what? I scared those people to death. But I knew people already. I go into the hospital, I look down the list as again, who was in the hospital. I knew most of the people. Most of the people in the local county jail were family members of mine. People, are you with me here? Yeah, pretty close to it. But listen. I tried to, again, be a good steward of that opportunity. So again, I have no idea where I was going with that, but we are dealing here with apathy. But folks, God cares. We should care. And it all goes back again to laziness, and I say this bluntly but kindly, a pathetic perspective of life. But again, I see what I shouldn't have to see in places I go that say they represent my Jesus. And I'm thinking, no wonder you're not reaching anybody. No wonder they don't want to come to what and who you are, because they even know that's not right, even though they may be unsaved. Folks, I'm going to Brother Jim's. They bought is it an elementary school? Yeah, what a wonderful facility. Now, what do you run normally?
130.
They've got a gymnasium. You know, there is something very beneficial of buying a school, except for the maintenance and heating and air conditioning. But listen, what a clean place. What a testimony of excellence. Now, it's because of his wife. He's a slob. No, he's not that one. No, they do. They care about, you can tell, look at that. If I had hair like his, I'd be a televangelist. You hear me, people? I would. I got a face for radio anymore. I'm almost dead. But you know what? You know why it's that way? Because on purpose, he chooses to be that way. Anything that works right for the glory and honor of God is because you choose on purpose to be there, go there, and do that, and understand the testimony, opportunity, and responsibility. Let's do the boom here again. I'll leave some opportunity for maybe statement or whatever. Faithfulness is the goal. God wants us to do our best to best represent Him. Why? To bring glory and honor unto Him. Remember, it's always about Him and it's for Him to again exemplify our God of excellence. Now, I had the privilege on Wednesday night, we were celebrating our 65th anniversary of the local church that I'm a part of in Simpsonville, South Carolina. And it's not a real big church, maybe 100, 125 folks on a good day. But the pastor was celebrating his 40th year at being at that church. Isn't that amazing? You know what the average is for a pastor to stay in a church? Do you guys know? 7 years is the average. And I know a lot that never make it that far. And it's because they get sick and tired of people who won't be volunteers for Jesus. Now, some of them are just spineless. Some are just quitters. Some, again, have underwriting testimony of perversion from what they're looking at or what they've chosen to be and do behind the walls of secret life and living. I understand why a lot of guys bite the dust. And I'm glad they're out of the business. I just hope they don't go ruin some other ministry. But you know what? We've got to understand why we're here and who we're here for. And if you don't constantly remind yourself of that every day, I guarantee you're going to make decisions based on the flesh, not that 1 Corinthians 10:31 thing. That's my life verse. Yeah. You know where I first heard that verse? A guy named Doc Hay. Does anybody know where that comes from? He's the founder of the Wilds Camp and Conference Center. I'm a brand new Christian going to Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Dr. Collins Glenn, and this bald guy comes in preaching to the teenagers, and he quotes that verse. I thought, Shazam. I had a Gomer Pyle moment right there, folks. I'm saying, this guy is smart. I didn't know it was in Scripture. I really didn't. Now, that's my life verse now, but I didn't know that was 1 Corinthians 10:31. But you know what? It so impacted me that I wanted to be that kind of representation. Say it with me. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And folks, let's not let anything supersede that kind of thinking, let alone those kind of choices, as we again seek to do what God has saved and called us to do. I'm going to stop. And you can go wherever you want. Just don't interrupt any other class. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this session. Lord, I'm honored these folks chose to be here in this place. Lord, I know the other sessions are gooder than good and a blessing. But Lord, I think we've had a good time together. And I pray, God, it will be beneficial for us. It's always a good reminder for me. But Lord, very, very much beneficial for the cause of Jesus Christ. Again, thank you, Lord, for this church, the testimony, their extra effort to do something like it's going on today. It's just amazing to me how wonderfully this is, again, put forth, but how, again, joyfully it's received by God's people. That just excites me that folks do want to know more. They do want to do better, or they wouldn't take time to, again, fill their Saturday with something such as this. So, Lord, we praise you. We thank you again for what you've taught us and, God, what we're going to learn even throughout this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I have amen from the crowd?
Amen.
Questions, comments, anything you want to ask? Why I'm so good looking? What shoe size I have? You know anything about ministry or any of that sort of thing as far as evangelists is concerned or local church? Anything? Yes, sir.
Trying to convey or at least, you know, spread that idea of excellence, you know, in a church that's been there, you know, a while, or folks that have been in the ministry a while that get complacent, you know, in certain areas, and they just have the more or less, you know, it's good enough.
Apathy. Yeah,
yeah. Especially even in just things like, you know, sprucing up the property and just taking money and time and effort to get things. What would you suggest, you know, besides just leading by example in that? That
prayerfully, carefully plant the seed, make it known to them. Because, again, like some, it's ignorance for a lot of folks. Or been there, done that. It's the way it's always been here. Wait a minute. But is it a testimony of excellence? Now, you can do it like this. For those in the recording, I'm raising my fist like an angry preacher. Again, you can do it like this, but that usually causes a split instead of building unity to accomplish what needs to be done. Does that make sense? So very carefully, but purposefully, start planting. Start again, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, but, you know, they can tell we're frustrated. They can tell if we'd rather, you know, just punch a few lights out or boot them out the back door. Folks will sense that. We don't want to lose people unnecessarily. Some we'd like to go, okay? But we don't want to, on purpose, give them an excuse to leave where they can grow, go, and serve in and from. Does that make sense? So you guys are mature and pastor. Don't throw in a suggestion or what. But I prayerfully, carefully, little here, little there, a lot there, you know, just discerningly. Again, with your leadership, start there. Let's discuss this. Walk around the property. You know, take a little tour. Let's, like, again, say, let's look at this from a visitor's perspective. And not assume they know, but not treat them like they're dumber than a box of rocks. You with me? Very discerningly, let's take a little tour around the neighborhood and see what's not so good looking in the neighborhood today. So just again, you know your people, you know their personality, you know how tender they may be. So again, ask God for that discernment and just carefully but purposefully head that direction. May not happen tomorrow. You don't want to just ram jam it. But again, through God's guidance and God's leadership, you know, deal with it as God avails the opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anybody else? That's a good question. Anybody else? All right. You want to sing a song or something? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this session. Again, God, we rejoice in this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You are dismissed. Thank you.